that here from Sumter.
Mr. President, I would ask that the remarks of the Senator from Charleston be printed in the journal.
Any objection? Hearing none, so moved. Senator from Spartanburg. Senator from Spartanburg is recognized.
Thank you.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, I am passionate about this issue. I'm passionate about the Senate. I appreciate being a member of the Senate. I filed this bill on February the 18th. I have pursued subcommittee hearings since that date. I have sent letters. I have requested. I understand that there are folks that don't feel like this bill is constitutional and don't want the bill on the floor. I disagree. According to our rules, we have 5 days. I'm strictly going by the rules. As far as politics goes, I don't think there's anybody that will ever question how strong I am on pro-life issues. So as far as a political reason, there's none. This is a terrible political decision. I mean, I'm going against the chairman and the president pro tem on a bill right here and asking for a roll call with my colleagues. But I think about those children in the womb that don't have any representation. And I think about due process and the fact that they've been denied it. And I've heard members in this body say that, you know, if it's a product of rape, then it's not a product of God. Well, I've read the Bible cover to cover, and I haven't memorized it, I'll grant you. But I don't think there's anybody that can say they truly understand and know the mind of God. But to say that a child is a product of the devil, I mean, the fact that the sins of the father, the fact that somebody committed rape, and we talked about the fact that there's no amendments on this bill. Senator, from Dorchester, I haven't talked to anybody about any amendments on this bill. I hadn't planned on doing this today, but this clears my conscience. Because I look people in the eye and I say, I do everything I can for unborn children. But Senator Knotts, Senator from Lexington, when he made that comment about how we do all we can for the unborn, that has played over and over in my mind. And in my mind, I haven't done all I can. Now today, with this vote, I will have done all I can up to this point. There's nothing else I can do. I filed a bill. I've written letters asking for subcommittee hearings. I've met with the chairman asking for subcommittee hearings. I've done everything I can do, and at the risk of offending the committee chairman, who I have a lot of respect for, I've done this today. I've done it with a lot of prayer. I've done it with a lot of thought, and this is what I feel like I need to do, and this clears my conscience, because how my colleagues feel about me is important, but how I feel about myself and if I've done the right thing is more important to me. So,
yes, Pickens. Do you have any legal opinion?
Well, I understand we've got an AG's opinion from several years back.
That this bill is constitutional.
Yeah, from several years back, the original personhood bill, I understand there's an AG's opinion. It's also passed in 2 states already, and it's been debated in several other states.
There's 2 states that have it on the books.
Yeah, there's two states that have passed it, Montana and
it's been unchallenged.
And North Dakota.
Neither state had a legal challenge.
I don't think there's been a legal challenge up to this date. Not that there won't be a legal challenge, but everything we can do is subject to a legal challenge. I mean, that's the beauty of it. We talked about due process of law, and we talk about the unborn having due process, but that's what the due process of law is all about. Anybody can challenge anything at any time. That's the right to a court system. We have 3 branches of government, and I don't think that we fully have all 3 on equal footing in this state, but we have 3 branches of government, and people are entitled to that judicial branch, and they can sue us for anything. And this is something that I feel like I will tell you this, an unborn child is never going to sue us. That unborn child will never have counsel and never have due process. So maybe the safe side, we won't get sued by that unborn child. I will agree with that. But I just can't legitimately be in this Senate and have an opportunity to make a difference and not do it. So that's why I'm here. I would, you know, I hate that this is the route I would have been glad to go through subcommittee and go through the hearing process, but it's something that I didn't feel like was going to happen because, like I said, I filed this bill on February 19th of 2009.
Senator Lancaster?
Yes, sir.
Senator, you have any co-sponsors on this bill, sir?
I have 23 co-sponsors.
Can you read those, please?
Bright, Bryant, Grooms, Verdon, Fair, Shootman, Shane, Martin, Davis, Mulvaney, Reese, Thomas, Rose, Odell, Cromer, Hayes, Massey, Cleary, Jackson, Larry Martin, McGill, Williams, Peeler, and Ryberg.
Mr. Chair.
Senator from Dahlgren.
Senator from Spartanburg, would you yield for a question, please?
Yes, sir.
Do you think that there's a correlation having the 23 co-sponsors and to have this bill brought up during the motion period?
I think my understanding of the rules is after five legislative statewide days, you can request to have a bill recalled, and it's a majority vote.
What do you have an understanding or appreciation of what this does with the case of Roe v. Wade?
Well, like I said, it's been done in two other states. As far as Roe v. Wade, you know, we've had this debate before, and I understand I'm limited in time, but you know, we have a different Supreme Court now than the one that made that decision, and we've had past Supreme Courts, which we've discussed here on the floor, make decisions that you and I both believe to be abhorrent.
I'm not trying to disagree with you on the merits. I'm just trying to see where we are as it stands with the legislation. I'm trying to see, do you have an understanding as to what this legislation does with what the Supreme Court has decided in Roe v. Wade?
Well, there may be another decision. I mean, I don't know what the... What I know is other states are doing it. I think that South Carolina should be on the record, and we should have in statute protecting the unborn child.
So do you take the position that the passage of this legislation, one, is not unconstitutional, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I'd agree with you. And so you can go ahead and go. I'll go after you.
Senator from Greenville. Question I have for the Senator.
Yes, sir.
Just for clarification. Now, this is the personhood bill.
Right.
Declares a fetus to be a person.
Right.
Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. If a fetus, let's suppose a crazed man comes after a woman who is 3 months pregnant that he knows is pregnant and attacks her in such a way that he kills the fetus, what's the status of the law in South Carolina for how he would be prosecuted?
I believe at that point the child's protected.
Well, how would he be prosecuted? Under what? Would it be a murder?
I think that's the statute, but if you can elaborate.
Well, I'm just asking the question. If the Supreme Court has already said that there's a right to abortion, and somehow morphed into this is that the fetus is not a person, then why isn't it a grounds? I don't know what the status is either. A 2 month or 3 month old fetus that dies at the hands of someone intentionally trying to kill it. But what your bill would do would absolutely clarify that fetus had a right to life.
Right. Under the Constitution of South Carolina.
Now, whether or not it conflicted constitutionally with the U.S. Constitution might be a completely different overlay. As I understood, what you were trying to do is impart to the fetus that it is a person we are dealing with, not just a blob.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
Senator from Darlington.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would the Senator from Spartanburg further yield?
Yes, sir.
Senator, would you agree with me that a lot of times in this state, what we do is that we sometimes jump the gun, and on the passage of legislation, it's not necessarily the unconstitutionality of the passage of the legislation, correct?
I agree with that.
Okay. And basically what we're doing is that the implementation of the act of the legislation, if it subjects anyone that would be a party to it, then they may perform what we would call then some unconstitutional act, correct?
Repeat that. I didn't get all every
bit. Let's say, for instance, if your legislation passed, and if the legislation passed, then what would it do to any... Wouldn't an act have to occur? Some doctor would have to perform an abortion. Wouldn't then, in order for us to then start the legislation to say that it's unconstitutional, the act that the doctor performed?
Well, I think that there's two different debates. There's the debate of whether this bill sees the floor, and then there's the debate as far as what kind of amendments are going to be offered if it sees the floor. I mean, like you mentioned, jumping the gun. I mean, we haven't even started amendment process. We haven't even had a subcommittee hearing.
Yeah, what would your bill do with an ectopic pregnancy? How would that be treated?
I mean, right now it doesn't address that, because basically what the bill addresses is life begins at conception. And basically when you're talking about life beginning at conception, and then you've got a situation where the term cannot be finished as an achievable pregnancy. I mean, to me, that's apples and oranges, and that's something if we want to address it in statute, which I'm sure that there will be amendments offered if we ever get it to the floor, that's something that can be addressed.
So, on its face, the legislation that you have prepared, do you believe that, that the passage of that legislation is unconstitutional?
No, because it doesn't, there's nothing in this legislation about abortion. Basically, it just says that you have rights vested in fertilization.
And once it becomes law, any act by any physician, do you have an opinion then whether our Supreme Court would view that as unconstitutional?
I think that would be the court's decision at that point. I mean, I can't say what the court's going to decide. That's why we have the three branches.
Have you looked at this in comparison with Roe v. Wade as it relates and as it relates to the Casey case?
I think that over half of the country believes that Roe v. Wade, just because we had the decision, just like we talked about before, I mean, you know, the fact, you know, separate but equal education, I mean, there's been Supreme Court cases that were ruled incorrectly, and I believe the right to privacy versus a right to life, to me, is a very poor case law, and I think there was a political agenda behind that.
Let me understand, I know you're passionate about this issue, and we talk about it a lot of times, it's to your passion, it's to you and to your understanding, but what you're trying to do now is you're trying to exercise a procedural move, if you will, maneuver, primarily because you never got a hearing.
Yeah, I would like to have it to the floor. I mean, I think since February 19th of 2009 is enough time for a bill to, you know, after you've requested in writing for a hearing on the bill and you're not going to have a hearing, I don't think that I'm doing anything that would be outside of senatorial courtesy since it has been this length of time and there hasn't been a single hearing.
And so is it your intent now that in the event that you are granted a hearing, then that you will be satisfied with what your motives are or requests are?
Well, I mean, I've already asked for a vote on this. We've already tried to bring it without reference. I think if we had a committee hearing, we'd have one committee hearing, and then 2 more years may go by.
I understand, but...
I mean, that's my concern.
I understand, but now I'm just trying to see where you are. You said that you've already requested the motion and the vote, and my question is, I think you were talking to the senator from Lexington, that if you granted a hearing... Do you still want to maintain your same posture to have a vote on this motion to have this matter placed on the calendar?
I don't believe that outside of what I'm doing today that this bill will ever see the light of day in the Senate.
And besides that, would a hearing then satisfy your desires?
If it was given a fair hearing and we were able to vote, but I'm concerned that, you know, like a lot of hearings, we'll carry it over. 2 more years has gone by, and you know, as a cancer survivor, I've talked about this before. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. I mean, a lot of folks may have a 20 or 40 year plan in the Senate. I don't.
Well, I like to say you. Some people count their days, and what you're saying make your days count.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so what you want us to do is that. Well, I guess what you're telling us is that you don't want to have a committee hearing now. You want us to address this matter on the floor of the Senate.
I believe so, because I don't think otherwise it's going to. I think I'll be back here, you know, next March or April. I mean, I really do, but I mean, that's my belief.
Do you have any legal opinions that have been provided to you? I realize that you said there's a couple other states that have done this. And has anyone provided a legal opinion to you as to what your legislation, the implications?
Well, you know, it's
I realize it is a passion of yours, and I'm not trying to be...
As we found out in our weighted voting argument we had up in Spartanburg that, you know, you can get, as I was told by the newspaper, I mean, you get, which they were right on this, if you get an opinion from the Attorney General, it's just one attorney's opinion. I can get you countless attorneys that believe Roe v. Wade was an unconstitutional decision. I mean, I can go get you opinions based on that. I mean, that's why the country's so divided, and I know it's divided, and like I said, being up here is not, to me, the most politically advantageous position. But I have to look in the mirror and realize I've done all I can for the unborn children in South Carolina. And at least if I get a vote and I lose a vote, at least I say I did all I could.
And I'm trying to see what you want. So it make a difference in what I do on the legislation. I'm trying to see if you really want to get a subcommittee hearing, if you're trying to make a point, or you're trying to end up putting the Senate in a box. I'm trying to see whether or not that what's your intent and motive. If it's to have a subcommittee meeting within the chair of the committee is over there, and the chairman of our full committee is there. And so if that's our intent, then I'm trying to see if that's the intent. If the intent is not that we all need to end up casting some baseline votes so the public can know where we stand, then that's another position. I'm trying to see which one it is.
Well, I think it's important that we talked about this in our caucus. I've talked about it to a lot of folks in your caucus, and we all seem to be, you know, pro-life to a great extent. There's a few folks that aren't, but for the most part. But yet, at the end of the day, we don't move any legislation. I mean, we've moved. This bill fundamentally has set since February 19th, and we've got all these co-sponsors, but we can't get it out. I don't think it'll ever see the light of day. I really don't.
Do you believe that a vote on this legislation as to whether or not it's set on the calendar will make a determination or present to the public any of our positions on whether we are pro-life or not?
I think that fundamentally we have a committee process. And I
answer my question, but you don't have to. I'm just saying, does it?
I know that's why I'm gonna give you this statement. We have a committee process, and through that process, I see a committee chairman as a servant. All right, they serve the body in their capacity. They have the wisdom and knowledge. They have the experience. They have the seniority. But it shouldn't be about the legislation that they want to accomplish or what they feel about legislation. It should be about the will of the body. And I just believe that this bill will languish in committee, and I feel like all today's offenses will be for naught. And I think that I've, you know, upset some people today, but I think I've done the right thing. And to say that I should backpedal and start the process again, I don't think it's going to be serving to the body.
So you don't have a viewpoint on whether or not that question, whether this is the baseline vote is shows whether or not the person that's voting is pro-life or not. That's not an issue, is it?
You know, that there's everybody knows in their heart of hearts what they believe. As elected officials, we represent constituencies, and those constituencies have rights to know where we stand. I mean, I know where I stand, but I mean, as far as the body casting a vote, I mean, we've had all this turmoil in this state when it comes to transparency, and folks knowing where we stand, and we've talked about that. We even changed our rules.
Sure, Senator, I appreciate that, and I'm not against you for exercising this procedural maneuver, but the question is I'm just trying to see whether or not that we're trying to get a baseline vote on the record, because what we just heard was our president pro tem, who I think he said that he was pro-life. I think he said it from that podium, but he also said he was not going to end up voting for this on a procedural basis. So I'm trying to question now is our intent now to try to get a vote on this issue? Is it for determining whether or not a person is pro-life or pro-choice? Is that what we're trying to determine? Because I don't think you accomplished that.
What I'm trying to determine is get the bill to the floor, and then we can probably make further determinations on where people stand down the road. But I think as long as it stays in committee, nobody has to make a decision. So we can all say, you know, it's not me, it's the guy behind the tree, basically. I mean, I'm not the one that's allowing this to happen in our state. It's the other guy. And I mean, I think at the end of the day, we've got to decide where we stand on this issue, because I think that it's been dodged, and I think it's time to address it. And if not, then of course I'll lose the vote today, and it won't be addressed.
Well, and again, now you're talking about losing the vote, and we know where, I think we all know where we stand. But the issue becomes now, as I'm trying to see, is that whether or not that this vote is determined by you or whoever that is helping promote it, is whether or not this is a baseline vote to determine the position of various members of this Senate as to where they stand on the issue of pro-life or pro-choice.
Well, God knows the hearts of men. I don't. So to tell you what somebody's heart is based on a particular vote, I can't tell. I think that if we get it to the floor, then we'll get a lot closer to finding out where men's hearts are.
Your intention.
My intention.
On whether this is a vote on pro-life versus pro-choice, or is this just a procedural motion for you, or whether or not you're trying to get a hearing?
My intention is to get this bill to the floor. That's my intention.
Thank you for being courteous and answering my questions, sir.
Thank you.
Senator from Lexington. Senator from Lexington is recognized.